Welcome to Unleash Your Courage. This is your host, Angela Schroeder. Whether you're joining us live on Turfs Up Radio, in the Facebook group, or listening to this by recording, thanks so much for being here. If you haven't already, be sure that you download and subscribe so that you do not miss an episode. We are super excited to have Ryan Lee with us here today. So thanks for joining us.
So excited to be here. Love that intro. I'm fired up now.
There you go. The power of a great team. I have a great team to make that. So, and I love seeing the new person. Like, you're at the end of the intro. Because
really, I was seeing that. I'm like, what do I got to do to make this film, this intro? And I was already there. This is amazing. You're already there.
Oh, so Ryan, like I said, so excited. We've been working on this for a while. And we're going to have some great conversation today, but why don't we start out by you sharing with the audience a little bit about you?
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks again for having me. I'm excited. I know it's been a little bit of a whirlwind getting this scheduled, but so my story starts back, I started like shoveling walks here in Utah. There's always a bunch of snow and stuff like that. So that's where I learned that I could go do work. Like I could go do manual labor in exchange for like $25. And I was like, holy cow. It took me 4 hours, but that was awesome, you know, and I was probably like 10 years old. And so when I was in college trying to get married, we had no money. I thought I invented the window cleaning industry, and that's where I got my start. So I was like, you know what? I could clean windows. And I thought, you know, the squeegees at gas stations that still exist to clean the windshield, that's like scrubber and squeegee. I was like, yeah. Where do you buy those? Because I'm sure that's what you use to clean windows of houses, right? And anyone who's in the window cleaning industry has got to be like, this guy's a moron right now. But hang on, okay? So I look in the Yellow Pages, and there's a cleaning store down on State Street in Murray. And I go down there, and I'm like, you guys have those squeegees, like the gas stations, whatever? And they're like, no, but we have this. And they're like, there's a whole aisle of window cleaning stuff. And so I buy the holster and the squeegee and the scrubbers and all this stuff. And it was so cool. I made enough money that summer with my wife. We just knocked doors and collected checks and cleaned windows. Made enough money that summer to get married. And I was hooked. I was like, dude, I love being an entrepreneur. Even though I didn't know what the word entrepreneur meant at the time, I called myself that. And so, yeah, that was how I got my start. I went through college and I kept thinking of all those days, knocking doors, getting to know clients and all that. But my mind was telling me, like, I was the first one in my family to go to college. So it was really important for me to get a degree. It was just one of those things that I wanted to do to fill. Like, you know, I'm going to change the family name, right? So I got a marketing degree. I got an MBA. But even when I got a job, I got a sales job. I was making $100,000 my first year. It felt like amazing. But then I kept thinking about those days cleaning windows. I was like, oh my gosh, I loved that. I love that way more than making money selling software over the phone. And so I called my brother. He was down in Texas at the time. And I said, let's blow this thing up. You know, I've got an MBA, whatever that means. And I was like, I can help you blow this window cleaning business up, because he had started cleaning windows. And he actually pivoted. He told me, he goes, you know what? I just started these landscape lighting jobs. I was like, what the hell is landscape lighting? And he's like, you know, they light the house, the trees. And I'm like, okay, that sounds weird. But he's like, yeah, they paid me $4,000 each. And I was like, wait a minute, what? Who pays $4,000 for lighting? And turns out that was a small job. But I was like, you know what, I'd much rather sell a $4,000 lighting job than a $250 window cleaning job any day of the week. So yeah, we just had a daughter at the time. I told my wife, we'll go down to Texas for a couple of years, try this thing out, and see how it goes. So that's how I got started into the landscape lighting industry.
Wow.
Long intro.
I love when people, you know, tell their story and the pivots and how you got there. And people that are good storytellers. So you're a good storyteller. Not this happened, then this happened, but the funnies and the whys behind it. Like, I can just see you being like, the squeegee?
Oh my gosh. I look back, I'm like, you know, the squeegee with the thing? And they're like, dude, you're a moron. I'd like, come check out this. And then the whole aisle for window cleaning, I'm like, dang it. Just another one of those inventions. Like, I thought I invented chicken or steak strips, you know, they had chicken strips. I'm like, let's invent steak strips. But it turns out they were invented. Also, I invent all sorts of things that are already invented. Yeah.
Oh, we have a couple of people saying hello. So I'm gonna, Dan.
What's up, Plata?
Sean. giving us a little shout out. And then we have a couple people that we don't know that are excited to be here. If you are in the Facebook group, make sure that you have registered with StreamYard, and then we'll know who you are. But someone's looking forward to the show, so we just can't give them credit.
Shout out, Facebook user. We love you.
The window cleaning just made me laugh because I have never thought about like what window cleaners use or what that looks like. The squeegee. Oh, JC.
Yeah. Wow. I'm one of his two or two of. Okay. I know you're number one, but if I could be in like his top 10, I'd feel good, you know?
Who knows how many favorite humans you have, but we're glad that we're two of them. But I was at IWCA conference earlier this year. Yeah, I think it was in January. And there's a window washing like speed contest. And it was fascinating. I was like, oh, it is the just like the gas station ones. That's what I thought. Oh, top 10.
Oh, but it's not. Oh, I'm in top 50. I actually feel good about that. I told him top 10, hoping that I would get a top 50. So I'm good.
Oh, goodness. But I was like, oh, they're two different things.
Yes. But that's why I thought, you know, it's genius to combine them like the gas station. So one day I'm going to go speak at a window cleaning conference and tell them the story. And I'm going to take the gas station one with me just to show them what I had in mind, you know.
There you go. Well, maybe that's a challenge next year, IWCA.
Like it.
Okay. So moving on to different parts of the story. And one that resonated with me is that you loved the bug of being an entrepreneur, even though you didn't know what being an entrepreneur was at the time. And I just wrote down that shift of we often get the bug. Many people get the bug of being an entrepreneur when it's really self-employed, when it's not the difference between I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a business owner, or I'm self-employed and love it, are still in that really loving the door knocking, the sales, the driving the success of life.
That's totally right. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I've been of my whole entrepreneurship journey, I've been self-employed like 95% of it. It wasn't until the last few years that I figured all this stuff out. And even then I'm like, I don't think I have it figured out. So it's interesting because now I sold my landscape lighting business. I had it for 12 years, went through all those crazy ups and downs, thinking I knew everything, falling on my face, being broke, you know, going to marriage counseling, all this stuff that you kind of have to do, starting a business, raising a young family, all that stuff. But I eventually did build it up to where we had salespeople, install teams, office staff, and I had a business that didn't require me. So that was when I finally felt like, hey, I'm not self-employed anymore. Like, I'm an actual entrepreneur. This whole time I thought I was an entrepreneur, but I wasn't until I really started a second business and got into a third and stuff like that. So now the last 4 years, or I guess last 3 years, I've been full-time business coach. So I help people start and grow landscape lighting businesses. And it's interesting because even in this business, there's a lot of my day where I'm self-employed. You know, I'm still having to do, like, I don't have a salesperson. I don't have different pieces of the puzzle in place. I just hired an integrator. So we've got some cool things cooking, but I'm probably another year or two away from being entrepreneur of Landscape Lighting Secrets, you know?
Hmm. Okay. There's so much in that. I want to go into the integrator. I was like, oh, where do I begin in this part of the story? But it is like how long you realize in business, like I thought in my first business in the dance studio, I thought for so long in different businesses, like entrepreneurship and the self-employed were the same thing, when really I was just self-employed. And I loved the thrill of the sale. Like when you're self-employed, you're not stuck, but you're in that season of like, oh, sales can fix anything. And just driving that business and doing everything for the business instead of, and then you're in all the pitfalls, like you just said, because the business requires every single thing of you. And so the rest of your life ends up in survival mode of those things, all the things that you said you go through, which aren't funny, marriage counseling in life, but all the things that
mine was funny.
But when you're stuck in business ownership, or not business ownership, the self-employed and doing everything, it affects so many other areas of your life because you're just you're stuck in that. So leading into now the business coaching, we'll talk about the integrator and how you're becoming an entrepreneur in that too. But now in the coaching realm of going through those seasons of growing a business and the purgatories and the pitfalls of that, what are some of your favorite parts of coaching, of things that like mistakes that you made or things that you had to live through and then being able to help people get through them and navigate them?
That's a great question. I had this epiphany sometime in the last 12 months. My life is usually a blur, but I had this epiphany that the reason I'm coaching others is to heal myself, is to heal my past. And so it's so rewarding. Like going and I picture myself 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And I'm like, okay, what was my biggest challenge? What was I doing wrong is usually what I start with. And that's how I come up with my content. That's how I come up with the action plan. That's how I come up with the stuff. And it's so rewarding because it's so effective. You know, people come to me like, man, you changed my life. I was able to do this and this and this. How did you do that? And I'm like, it actually wasn't that hard. All I had to do is help my past self. And so it's so rewarding because you know the feeling. I mean, you're a server. You're a server. What is that? Servant? I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Okay, you're a giver.
Okay, giver. You're a giver. Yeah.
And like you help someone, it's the best feeling in the world. But on top of that, I do feel a little bit selfish because I'm helping myself, right? And it's crazy. I had heard this in the past that the last phase of learning is teaching or something like that. And holy freaking cow, like these last few years, I've learned more about myself, about business, about everything in these past few years than I have in my entire career. So it's such an awesome journey. Mm.
The last phase, I'm going to go backwards in this. I love that you said, the last phase of learning is teaching. And I think we talked about that at the end of when I was in school, and it was practiced a lot better in school. I don't know if they still do that now, but that you would learn something and you learn it to mastery. And then the best way for you to retain that and really do the last level of learning is to then teach that lesson to somebody else. And I love coaching programs that are out there. And that reminded me that I don't do that with people anymore, but I used to. that was part of coaching that, like, okay, you've learned this. We got this. I passed it on to you. Like, before we move on to the next thing, who can you go teach this to? Who can you share and teach this concept with, which not only made it resonate with them, but was also this like passing on.
That's great. So, honestly, like I'm going to change the way I teach now just because you said that. I'm like, wait, I know that, but I haven't been like, I'm going to start to make that part of my content. Like, okay, go teach this to your new hire. Go teach this to somebody, because it's so weird. Like when it happens, you start teaching it and you're like, these like little epiphanies start to go off and you're like, that's what that means. That's why I'm saying this. That's why I'm doing this. And when you're in the mud and you're in the weeds, like you're just like, someone's just telling me to do something different. And okay, I'll try it. I don't really know why.
Yeah, it is so different. So yay, we're both going to leave with that nugget.
That's huge. That is huge. I
implement that right now. So healing yourself, that coaching is healing yourself, that you're learning that lesson. And that resonated as well. A lot of people throughout writing the book, and still I use different quotes in social media and I'm writing and either, you know, use them on social media or in the book or in blogs or in written content. And people often say, you know, where did you come up with these? Or how are you coming up with these? Why are you coming up with these? And I've always said, and it is true, they're not things I write at different points. It's like me teaching myself. Like, I don't have it figured out. I am still in the mud in different areas. It's just different mud. And that statement was just me trying to teach myself.
100%.
Moment.
Yeah, so. 100%. That's how the last few years of my coaching has been. It's just like, all right, like, what is going to help my past self, you know? And even now, like you said, like, I'll teach a concept to someone that like before I hit the record button, before I started teaching, I was like, well, I'm going to teach this because I've done this. I've got it figured out. But as soon as I start talking, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is for me. Like, and all this stuff, I have to just keep reminding myself, like, and it's so crazy how that works. Cause I'm sitting here talking and I'm like, wait, this is for me. Like, this is for me right now, not even myself 5, 10 years ago.
Oh, I love it. I definitely share that, that when I'm teaching people, I was like, wait, this is the lesson that I am supposed to be learning. Yeah, right now. I needed this for me in this moment. And what a more powerful place of teaching it is when you are teaching from that, because it's so authentic. I talked about, like, when I was helping people a long time ago, so the beginning of my career, 25 years ago, I just had to realize how long ago that was. When I was talking to the dance studio owners before this, I was like, oh gracious, my first business was before there was internet. But it was true. And with the dance studio, then I brought into coaching other dance studio owners. And it was before business coaching was a thing. 25 years ago, there was not a lot of business coaching out there. And, but I was a completely different type of coach. And all I was doing, and I still think there are these types of coaching out there, was what I call blueprint coaching now. I could care less what they thought, what their mindset was. I had this young attitude that business owners, entrepreneurs were supposed to be driven, like suck it up, buttercup, and just move ahead. Like, I don't care if it's hard. I don't care what's going on at home. Just do the work. And here's the blueprint. And you will be more successful if you follow this exact plan. And I think that's what coaching was like for a while. Instead of, and then it evolved from, and there still is blueprint. I mean, there is a need for some blueprints, like don't go recreate the wheel. Here's the blueprint for you. Sure. And then it evolved into some of, you know, mindset coaching that was tailored to the person. And what do you think? What's your personality? And there's room for that too, and those blended together. But I love how you shared this. And I think it's the most authentic part is when you are really resonating and teaching from this place of not I'm up here and I'm teaching, but like, this is a lesson I need to learn for me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty much every day now.
What do I need to learn? Okay, somebody likes us. Somebody likes all kinds of things. Oh, okay. So back to, I'm excited for you. Tell me about, I love talking about visionary and integrators. So if you listen to the show a lot, we talk about that a lot. And if you haven't and you're new to that, make sure that you go look it up, because we're not going to go fully into that. But I love being in a visionary, and I'm at a season again. JC and I just talked about this week, and always when you grow to a new phase, you might have integrators in certain things. And I'm like, I need an integrator for my entire life.
Yes.
So not just an integrator in this business and in this business, I just need an integrator for me. So tell me about, this is exciting. We have an integrator.
It's so exciting. So I read the book E-Myth, you know, years ago, and then I read the book Traction. And to me, it was the combination of those two books, E-Myth being the entrepreneur myth that people start businesses because they're entrepreneurs, when in reality, they're just kind of good technicians. And then they find out they're not good entrepreneurs and all that. So that hit me hard. And I knew there was a difference between this visionary and an integrator, but I didn't know what that, I felt it inside me, but I'd never heard like a definition or anything like that. And then I read the book Traction and I was like, holy cow, this is it. Like, I'm a visionary. But the thing that I still struggled with for years running my landscape lighting business is I knew I was a visionary, but I thought an entrepreneur was supposed to be a visionary and an integrator. And I know that's just whack or whatever, but I just was like, well, an entrepreneur is supposed to be good at everything. Like, I can go fix the thing and I can do customer service and I can be a visionary and I can do all this stuff. And so I felt a little bit of a failure when I wasn't a good manager, right? Like, man, I'm really struggling training people and building culture and all these things. And I just thought like, man, I'm weak. Like, there's people out there that are good at this. And I'm just not that person. And it wasn't until I sold my business. I'm not even kidding. Sold my business. And even till like a year or two ago that I was like, duh, it's been in front of me the whole time. It's because I'm a visionary. I'm not an integrator. Like, why are you trying to be both? Right. And so when I just focus on being a visionary, I'm a badass. I'm really, really good. And I'm confident and I don't get depressed. Right. But when I try to be the integrator, now all of a sudden my self-esteem goes down and things go south and you're trying to do everything and things start, you know, you're trying to do everything you can to keep the wheels from falling off. So, I tried to hire an integrator about 6 months ago and it didn't work because I had never hired an integrator, to be honest. I didn't really know what I was looking for and the person just didn't work out, you know, and I'm okay with that, sharing that, because I've hired a lot of people that didn't work out because I'm not a good integrator. I'm not a good manager. I don't even know what I'm doing when it comes to those things. Right. So I decided to hire an agency that helps recruit, is a recruiting agency. And that was awesome. I mean, they brought me three candidates that I honestly could have closed my eyes and just picked one of them. And I interviewed them and chose the one that I thought I'd have the best fit with in terms of, like, you know, personality, because I knew everything else they'd do fine. And so, yeah, she's been with me only like 3 weeks now. I think we're 3 weeks or 4 weeks in. So I'm so excited, though.
I was like, does it feel like magic again?
Yes. It's amazing because now I don't have to be integrator, and I've been integrator for 15 years and I don't know how to do it and it sucks.
Oh, I love the way that you described like what it's like when you're living in that integrator. And so I'm going to take a step back and just briefly describe if you're listening and haven't before, but you should read Traction, go take the rocket fuel test. That'll tell you a little bit about that. But I thought so too. People didn't talk about it before, of the entrepreneurs, and they do fall into both categories of, are you the visionary? Do you have the big ideas? Are you the dreamer that, you know, wants to cast the vision, has new ideas every day? It's like, oh, and it ties in with everything that you said in the beginning, because these are visionary type thoughts. I invented steak bites and just like a scooping at the gas station, and let's do this. But I don't want to actually figure out how to make that squeegee or figure out how to market the steak bites. I just have the idea. And integrators thrive in creating the process. And so we always hear about in history, and sometimes I'm going to write these down and have a whole show just about visionary integrator, write down the famous people of, like, you know, Walt Disney and Henry Ford and who their integrators were that no one knows who they were.
That would be cool.
You know, people in history had these, and you didn't have to be. And that's what I thought in the beginning too. Like, if you were good at running a business, you were supposed to know how to put the processes into place, how to put every single step into place. And if you, in the beginning, it's too bad. Like, you do have to suck it up. It's a bummer. In the beginning,
unless you have a rich uncle, then you might not have to. Yeah.
Or you have a partner. The other way to start a business is that you have a partnership and, you know, you have a great fit that there's a visionary and an integrator together. And the integrator likes to put the processes into place. But like you said, it is so draining to be a visionary and have to live in an integrator role. And it's so draining and affects everyone in your business and in your life. Because like you said, you become depressed. It affects your self-esteem. Because you are really not living in your authenticity, and it causes this friction and burnout inside whenever you have to, you know, the more you have to live in an integration role. And that's what I've been stepping into and needing to be in integration roles, I can tell. Like, I feel this anxiety of, like, I'm not supposed to be here. And every time I am. So I think as you grow a business, like, that's the fastest partner you want to find if you're a visionary.
Yes. Is an integrator. And no one tells you that. Like, you see these awesome, I mean, you're like, okay, Elon Musk, he's the richest man in the world or whatever. You don't know that he has like multiple integrators. Like, yeah, he's a genius, but like, he's not really doing any of the stuff that gets all of it done. And so we think, like, I think about my past self. I think about my clients, the guys that are just one, two man shows, whatever. It's so hard because it's like, you've got this multiple personality disorder, but you don't. Like, you don't really have that, but you're forcing yourself to have multiple personalities. It's torture. It literally is like the definition of torture, like putting yourself in these situations. So I'm like, I don't even know how I've made it this far in life. Like, I've literally tortured myself for 15, 16 years. Like, what is the matter with you, son? You know, so the sooner people can have that realization that that integrator role is like, how do you get there the fastest? It's not always the first hire. It rarely is. But if you can get there fast, your life is so much easier because now you can just have one personality and do what you want to do.
Yes. And it's often we think of, so when you said Elon Musk and he's not doing all the things, I think what most people think of it as though, that they think the entrepreneur is here and they have people doing things, but they think of it as they have people doing the tasks, right? That there's the entrepreneur, there's the business owner at the top, and that they have a whole team of people doing the tasks. That's not what having an integrator is about. It is about who is the project manager, who's in charge of the people running the tasks. So that as a visionary, you can stay up here and you can have an idea. And it literally means like, I have an idea. Guess what? I want to start a podcast and I want it to be awesome. And then there's an integrator that figures out these are all the steps that need to happen to have a podcast. And then that person either does those tasks themselves or finds the people that are actually going to do the tasks. But it means removing from yourself from even trying to figure out how the task would get done.
Yeah. And honestly, as a small business owner, you can't grow unless you have this type of person in place. Because like my business right now, it's coaching. So it's a little bit different model. But I've been the integrator 3 years and I've got it to the point where like, this is it. Like if I don't hire an integrator and it's up to me to be integrator and visionary, this is as big as it's going to grow. Like I'm tapped out, my mind, everything, the time, like there's no more capacity, right? And if you take a small business, whether it's a window cleaning, landscaper, landscape lighting, holiday lighting, any pressure washing, anything like that, it's the same thing. Like you can't grow more unless you get someone in this space. And I'm telling you, like there's so much freedom there because that person is so much better at you are at the thing than you are, right? And again, we try to force ourselves to be good at it because we think we're supposed to be good at it, but you don't have to.
No. And you described it in ways that made me think of it different. Like you're living in this multiple personality disorder and it affects everyone around you. It does, whether you think you do or not, because you're so frustrated living in a personality that you're not. And like, I'm not really good at giving the instructions. Like I don't know how anymore to give the details. So if I don't have someone in a project management integration role in everything, and I'm trying to directly work with the person that's supposed to do the tasks, I communicate with them like they're supposed to be the project manager. And I'm like, what do you mean? Tell me how to do it. I don't know. I don't know.
Yep.
That's your job.
Well, I'm just calling my shot. I've got my integrator in place. You guys are about to see some crazy shit go down. Okay. Because now we can actually start to execute on all these crazy ideas. We're going to invent steak fingers 2.0. We're going to invent window cleaning 3.6. It's going to be wild.
Oh, okay. Well, back to more of those announcements that I have said way too long without taking a commercial break. So we will be right back. And we're back. Okay. So besides Steak Bites 2.0 and the Window Squeegee 3.6. For real. Do you have a preview of exciting things coming or tell us a little bit more? We've dove into a lot of, the not the good, the bad, the ugly of the past, but the exciting things, moving on to the exciting things that are happening now.
Man, I got to be careful because, as a visionary, sometimes you say things that you're like, oh man, your team after that is like, dude, what are you doing? Like, we haven't even finalized that, whatever. So just generally speaking, I'm just planning on dominating the landscape lighting industry and we're just getting started. There's a lot of changes that we've already made. There's never been someone like myself in the landscape lighting industry. There's a lot of business coaches out there and there's people in the landscaping industry and there's some in the holiday lighting industry. But what I'm going to try to do is help all these people who have these Christmas light businesses who have to hire all these people to get, a lot of work done. Then they have to lay them all off and then rehire the next year. And it's just a mess, right? So I want to help them start landscape lighting businesses so that they can even out that flow and just be a lighting company and not have to go back and forth from being a landscaper or a pressure washer and then go into holiday lighting and stuff like that. So that's one initiative we're going to do, is really try to help these businesses bolt landscape lighting on as another offering. You know, there's two ways to grow. You could be like, well, we've kind of tapped out what we're doing here. We could go to another city and replicate what we're doing here. Or you could just stay in your same city and offer them something new. And landscape lighting seems to be an awesome fit. So we're going to really focus on that. But we're also going to focus a lot on our existing clients. So we're revamping some of our training. We're offering more and more to them. My goal is to really make Landscape Lighting Secrets a franchise without the franchise fee. We're not a perfect company. We don't have everything, but I'd love to have this be as much of a business in a box as possible, where when people join, they're like, oh my gosh, it really is a franchise without the franchise fee. It doesn't cost $300,000 to start, and I have to pay this guy 10% of everything I make. So that and about 10 other things we're going to be doing.
So stay tuned.
Yeah.
You're not going to tell us the secrets now. We'll just have you back to
yes.
tell more.
Yes, yes, yes.
Bolt on. I loved that as a word of, like you said, you have, you know, different opportunities to grow as a business. And in this service space, whether it be holiday lighting companies or people that have, you know, lawn and landscape companies that are looking for ways to grow, that, yeah, you can go to another city. You can keep be looking for that vertical growth of how are you getting, you know, more clients and just adding more and more clients, or this bolt-on option. I just love that vocabulary, so I'm just going to keep saying it over and over. you know, how can you use your existing clients and offer something more?
Well, you know, I actually just shared this story. I went camping last week. I just shared this story on my podcast, and I went camping last week with the kids, and there's this lake, Schofield, and there's a sign that shows all the fish you can catch and like what the limits are and stuff. And there's this one called a tiger muskie. And in order to keep the tiger muskie, it has to be 40 inches long. I'm like, holy cow, like 40 inches. I've never caught a fish that big, right? So we're like, yeah, we want to catch the tiger muskie. And I thought for sure you're going to catch the tiger muskie like in the deep part of the lake. And we're like trying to cast from the shore as far out as we can, you know? And we weren't catching any tiger muskie. So I went to the gas station where they sell lures and some fishing stuff. And I was like, hey, we want some of that tiger musk. You know, what do we got to do? And he tells me, well, you know, here's the lure. And first of all, the lure was bigger than what I was using. I'm like, that makes sense. Bigger bait, bigger fish. Okay. And then he goes, the other thing is like, you got to cast to the side. Like, don't cast far out. I'm like, well, I thought the tiger musk would be in the deeper waters. He goes, no, they're in the shallows, but don't cast straight out, cast to the side, because they're hugging the shore. And I'm like, holy cow, like power of having a coach, right? Just one small tweak. And so I get the bait, I come back, I tell the family, and my brother-in-law was there. I'm like, dude, we're gonna get some tiger muskie today, you know? So I give him the lure, I pass out the lures. And it was my second cast, I'm not even getting my second cast. I go out and I'm reeling it in, and I'm reeling in a real slow, the last few feet, this tiger muskie, that was, I don't know if it was 40 inches because it was in the water and I didn't tape measure it, but it was huge. Okay. It was 3 to 4 feet for sure. And it's following my lure. And my brother-in-law is on the end of the dock, and now he's even with it. And he's like, you seeing this? And I'm like, yeah. And it was the second cast right now. I wish I could say I pulled in this tiger muskie and I wrestled it to shore and all this stuff, but I didn't catch it, but we saw it. Right. And the point I'm sharing with this is, I thought we had to go out to the deep waters. I thought we had to go be exploratory and try these new things and whatever. All I had to do was go ask a guy in a gas station who was my coach to say, what do I do? And he told me, go do this and this. And I'm going to go catch a tiger muskie now because I know what to use. I know where they're at. And it's right there in front of me. It's right underneath me. The gold mine is not out in the deep waters. It's in the shallow waters. Okay. We have all these opportunities right in front of us. So, you know, at my podcast was more like, are you putting yard signs out? Are you doing door hangers? Are you knocking the doors of all grassroots stuff that doesn't cost any money? I'm not asking you to blow $5,000 a month on Google ads. I'm not asking you to go start in a new city. All I'm asking you to do is these simple things. So bolting on landscape lighting is kind of that simple thing. You already have a customer base that loves you. They like you, at least. They gave you money. They trust you. So why not send them an email? Why not send them a voicemail bomb? why not text them and let them know about this new offering that you did? It's right, these tiger muskie, these giant fish are right underneath our feet, underneath our docks. Mm.
I love that analogy for two reasons, because the whole time you were talking about it, I was thinking of it in a different way of coaching, but it is a great analogy of the bolt-on as well, that why go look when there's all these people right here, there's all this low hanging fruit that you have that you can take advantage of, that you've already worked to nurture those relationships. And it's so much less. These are people that you already have, relationships that you already have. Like you said, it's not new relationships you need to foster. It's how it continues to build your existing service by servicing your clients better. What I thought of in this story was the analogy to coaching, though. Often people try to do a bolt-on business. And I think especially in the service space, I would say especially in lawn and landscape, because there's so many kind of bolt-ons that you could do in lawn and landscape, right? With whether it be with the chemicals or with irrigation or lighting, or, you know, there's kind of all different kinds of things, whether you're doing hardscape or whatever. And I see way too many people trying to throw spaghetti by themselves, trying to be like, I'm going to catch that by myself. Like, that's a great idea. I saw somebody else doing that. Here's all the things that I could do. I could add on all these different services. I'm going to try and figure it out myself, like you did to begin with fishing, and just go out into the deep waters. And this is the way I think it should be done. So I'm going to spend all this time, energy, and money trying to make this this new bolt-on opportunity work, when I just could have gotten a coach.
Exactly.
asked the person. And that, especially, you know, you have this all laid out, like you said, it's a franchise without the franchise fee of why would you go try and do this on your own when you have such an incredible program that everything is laid out. And it's like, here is the gold mine. Here is the tiger muskie, right? Here it is right here for you. If you just follow the blueprint, then here it is.
Yeah. The only thing we don't do is like put the tiger muskie on the hook and like pull down so that you'll reel it in, you know. It's right there though.
Oh, you have to do that part for yourself. But without that, you know, people can be out there fishing in that deep water forever and save yourself. Like, it's, I think a lot of people when they're starting a business think that they can't afford the coaching, or you get stuck in that ego mindset as an entrepreneur that I know it all, I got it all, I can figure that out on my own. And the realization of it is so much more cost effective, time, money, energy, than you think, to just hire a coach from the very beginning. When, like I said, I think people are like, I'll go try it for a year by myself, let's do a season, and then I'll go ask for help, instead of asking for help to begin with.
There's honestly, like, there's never a good time. This is going to sound weird, but there's never a good time to get a coach, because when the economy is blooming the last few years, listen, anyone in the home service business has raked it in. If you haven't, you should immediately quit and just go get a job somewhere, because the economy was so easy these last few years to go make money. Right. And so most people are like, I don't need a coach. My phone's ringing off the hook. I got shit figured out, you know? And so it's not a good time to get a coach when the economy's good. And then when the economy turns and people are starting to hurt now, they're like, I don't know how to get leads. I don't know how to get leads. I'm broke. I got to pay this. I got to pay that. It's also not a good time to get a coach because you can't afford a coach. Okay. I literally just had a guy call me. He joined my program just like 2 or 3 weeks ago. He calls me today. It's not working out. What's not working out? Well, I can't afford it. What? Like, what do you mean you can't afford it? Yeah, when it was good, but now it's hard. I'm like, why did you call me? Why did you reach out? Why did you hire me? It's because you don't know what you're doing, right? So he's literally trapped in that mindset of like, I can't afford it. And I told him the same thing that I told countless others. It's not that you can't afford it. You can't afford not to. Yep. Like, tell me what your plan is. Good. That's awesome. Facebook user, hashtag love you. But the thing is, they don't see it like that, you know? And I'm like, tell me your plan. There is no plan. I mean, if they have a better plan than hiring me and following my proven blueprint, that's fine. I'll let them off the hook. But I'm not about to let someone off the hook for saying they can't afford it, because every $100 you give me, you're going to get a couple hundred back, 300, 400, 500 back, right? So it's not coaching. It can be an expense, mm-hmm. but it should be an investment, right? And that's the hard part about coaching, is like, you can tell someone, you can help them, you can, you know, guide them, but they have to cast the line. They have to get stuck in the weeds. They have to maybe wade out there and get their hook undone. It's not every time you like, I didn't catch that tiger muskie yet, right? So I'm like, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, no, I'm going to go cast 10,000 more times until I catch that thing.
Mm-hmm. But that was an interesting way to put it, of there's never a good time to get a coach, because yes, everyone always has an excuse of like, now's not a time, yes. now's not a time, now's not a time, when you can't afford not to. You said that like, you really can't afford not to. And there are all different areas that you can get coaching in, coaching at different areas of your life. So those, you know, some of those are decisions in what you're working on and where you need that. And I always analyze and look of like, oh, I wonder why that's not moving forward. I don't have a coach in that area. No one's pushing me in that area. But this is just such a no-brainer, I think. You and your program, because it's not, am I ready to make the move and shift in this area of my life or stretch myself mindset? Like, this is it. If you're ready to take your business to the next level and bolt this on with landscape lighting, don't do it alone.
Exactly. Yep.
Because it is an investment. Well, I don't know where time has gone. I certainly have not even gotten to the second commercial, and we're like out of time. So you're going to have to come on again as you're unveiling all the other new surprises for us. But before we end with our ending question, any last advice or words you want to share with the audience?
You know, one of the themes that I've kind of just been promoting the last few years is keep moving forward. And man, there's so many reasons why when you start to do something that's good, the resistance becomes stronger, right? And to me, the resistance is Satan, right? But whatever you want to call it, when you try to do something good, the resistance becomes strong. And so when you try things and it doesn't work out the first time, try it again. Pivot, try something else, right? So just keep moving forward. That's the best advice I want to leave with you today, because the last thing I want is someone to try something and then it doesn't work out quite like someone explained or whatever else. It wasn't the fantasy that they saw. Try it again. Keep moving forward, because you don't want to live with regret. You know, you don't want to live with like, well, maybe I could have done this. Maybe I should have done this. Just keep moving forward. That's really the phrase that I want you to remember. It's helped me in so many situations where I get down on myself. I feel like, well, I don't know if I can do this. You can, you know, just keep moving forward. There's someone else out there that needs your service, that needs your help, that needs you. If you're a business owner, you are amazing. I mean, you are supporting your family. You're supporting your team members and their families, your suppliers, your manufacturers. I mean, your little economy is freaking impressive. So just keep moving forward.
I love that advice. And like I said, something I needed to hear again too. There's all different things that I'm like, oh, that was a little nugget I needed to hear, of the, when things are going good, the resistance gets stronger. And that's something to always remember, because that happens. That, and realizing that happens, if you're listening to this and whatever phase of business that you're in, I think often we think that people that, you know, have it all and are at the top of our game and are talking and we're seeing you of like, things are awesome, things are exploding, and think that that doesn't happen for those people or the people at the top. And it is, like, no matter what level you're at, no matter how successful you are, where you're growing, that always happens. When things are really going the best and things like you are in this amazing trajectory, it sometimes we get scared or defeated or wonder if that's a sign we shouldn't be doing it, because ultimately that happens. When things are going the best, there is some form of resistance that feels uncomfortable and is getting heavy. So
yeah, like that's my gauge now. When I feel that resistance and I feel the world trying to shut me down, I'm like, oh yeah, baby, we are about to break through, and the world has no idea what's about to happen. So I love it now. I used to be afraid of it. Now I'm like, yep, keep it coming, baby.
That just got me all on fire, because that's what I needed to do. Like, things are like awesome and things are going great. And then you're like, oh, but this part of change and growth feels uncomfortable. And why is it not aligning? So that's great advice. So we end each episode with a challenge to the viewers that we first ask or answer ourselves of, what is one thing that you need to do to get uncomfortable? We know that growth happens stepping outside of our comfort zone, facing our fears, moving forward in courage. And so reflecting on if there's one thing you've been unwilling to do or area that you know you need to grow, what is one thing in the next week you need to do to get uncomfortable?
Dang, that's actually a really hard question. I'm going to give an answer that I don't know if is there, maybe there's not a wrong answer here, but I think of something physical. So I think one thing I like to do, and I did it this last week, and I like to jump in cold water. If I had an ice bath, I would do it. But I like to jump, like this lake was freezing. I'll go up the canyon with my daughter and we'll go sit in the river for like 20 minutes, right? And it sucks. Like the thought and the fear of like, oh my gosh, like I felt it with my toe. I felt it with my foot. This is so cold. Like, why am I doing this? But it trains my brain. It really brainwashes me that I can do hard things. Like I can be uncomfortable in this situation. And so it's a very physical thing, because like, I know I can just like, I can do that. Right. I don't know of another way. I personally, maybe I do, but I can't think of one where I can like do an exercise of meditation or maybe just go like do the task that I don't want to do. But for me, doing those types of activities have what's given me the discipline to know that I can be comfortable being uncomfortable. So, the cold water thing is, it works for me. You know, anytime I'm around cold water, I'll jump in it, and it's mainly because I don't want to do it. Right. That's one thing I would do. And then I also started a habit of push-ups. So a year ago, I don't ever work out or anything. I'm pretty active, but I don't work out. I started doing 20 push-ups a day, and I know that's nothing, but it's because I didn't want to do 20 push-ups a day. And so I wanted to develop discipline of doing something I didn't want to do. Again, just to brainwash myself that I can do things that I don't want to do. And so then I started adding like one a day, maybe like 6 months ago. So now, and then I don't always add one a day, but now I do 125 push-ups a day, which a year ago I was doing zero. So just to train myself that I can do hard things.
I love those things. And I always find when I push myself physically, like when I need to move to the next level, that it usually starts with something that I'm willing to do physically, because it's a way you can really see something tangible with your mind. So I was going to say something different, and I just feel like now I'm going to have to say the cold thing. I've been avoiding it. I mean, I have all kinds of people in my life who are like, yeah, you have to do the cold plunge. And I'm like, nope, cold shower. I do not like being cold. No.
Well, that's why you need to do it. It's not because you enjoy it.
Now, and I have more than a week, so that's why I'm going to actually say yes. I have 2 weeks, because we are off next week for the 4th of July. So before we come back in 2 weeks, I will let you know. I will post a picture. I will do some sort of.
You're going to do it. Are you going to like do your own ice bath? Are you going to go find a river? Do you have a lake nearby? What are you going to do?
I don't. I might make JC do it with me. I don't think he's going to be that excited.
So no, he's in. Yeah, he said he's in.
We've both been avoiding it, so I'm just going to call him out on.
I mean, I'm not suggesting you have to invest in an ice bath or what the cold plunge thing, but just go try it once and see how terrible it is.
Yeah, you don't have to invest, but there are places to do it, and you can also like get some ice and fill a container. Like
yes. You can do that once. But wait, so. You're not going to share yours?
I'm going to share mine. That's okay. Mine. We want. I'm not. I was going to pick something different, but now this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to say I'm going to do it, and I promise to post videos.
Nice.
Which is even worse. But so, thank you for calling me. This has been a long time one coming. for at least a year that I've avoided. So
nice. All right. Well, I can't wait to see. I think you're going to get addicted to it because it does suck, but there's something about how refreshing it is after and how alive you feel. And it's like, oh my gosh, like I feel so good. And again, it's just like that connecting, like, wait, this is something that I did not want to do. I mean, especially for you, you're like, no, I've told multiple people no. It's like, no, I'm never going to do that, to where I just did it. And now just seconds later, I'm not freezing and I feel so amazing. So connecting that experience of getting comfortably uncomfortable, it happens every day in business. It's like, and I don't want to call that guy that wants to cancel my thing right now, because I don't like confrontation, but I'm going to call him because I jumped in cold water and I remember how amazing I felt after, you know? So it's just literally connecting your mind to those experiences and remembering, okay, I'm going to call that angry customer, or I'm going to go fire that employee that I've wanted to fire for a while, but I'm scared to. It just, it for me, it's just connecting those dots.
Yeah, no, I think so too. So, well, Ryan, thank you for everything, all of the energy, amazing ideas that you shared with the audience. I know we both took away some things in revelation and conversation that we're both incorporating. So I know that the viewers did as well. So thank you for sharing your energy with us today.
Yeah, I'm taking notes. So that was great. Appreciate the combo.
Yes. So thank you, viewers, for tuning in, whether you, again, are live on Terps Up or in the Facebook group. We will not be live next week. Have a happy 4th of July celebrating with your friends and family, and we'll be back live in 2 weeks. Have a great week, everyone. And don't forget to share and post and let us know what you're going to do to get uncomfortable.